1 Kings, the 14th chapter, 1 Kings chapter 14, beginning with verse 25, and in your Schofield Reference Bible, that's page 408, read verses 25 through verse 30. These six verses, we'll read them responsively, please. And let's stand for the reading of God's Word. And it came to pass in the fifth year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. And he took away the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king's house. He even took away all, and he took away all the shields of gold which Solomon had made. And King Rehoboam made in their stead brazen shields, and committed them into the hands of the chief of the guard, which kept the door of the king's house. And it was so, when the king went into the house of the Lord, that the guard bare them, and brought them back into the guard chamber. Now the rest of the acts of Rehoboam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all their days. And let's pray. Father, it's a wonderful thing to be here. Thank you for health and strength, the ability to be in this place. And now that we're here, thou dost surely have something for us, and so help that our hearts and our minds might be open and alert to the preaching of thy word. Bless, preacher, bless the preaching of the word, and bless with thy spirit's power, not only the preaching, but the hearing. In Jesus' name, amen.
King Shishak of Egypt had come to fight in battle against King Rehoboam of Judah. He had rifled the house of God and taken many of the sacred things from God's house. Among them, are you listening? Among them, he found the golden shields. Shields made of gold. And King Shishak took these golden shields back to Egypt. King Rehoboam replaced those golden shields with shields of brass. They were good shields, but they were not as good as the golden shield. He had replaced the good with, or the best with the good. Somebody has rightly said, the greatest enemy that the best has is the good. And I want to talk this morning on this subject. Are your shields gold or brass? You know, this could be one of the most important truths that you've heard in a long time. Heavenly Father, speak to the hearts of my people this morning. I am the only pastor they have, and this is the only Sunday morning service they'll attend this week. And I want to be what they need. May it be so. In Jesus' name, amen. A preacher asked me this question. Do you think it's wrong if I work in politics? You've heard about the moral majority and other groups that have been working in politics, and I have no intention this morning to defend or attack any such group. But he asked this question. He said, you think it's wrong for me, the fact that I am in politics? And I said, I asked you one question. I said, what's it done to the soul winning in your church? What's it done to the soul winning in your church? If it has not hurt the soul winning, then maybe it's all right. But I said if it's hurt the soul winning, then you traded a shield of gold for a shield of brass. You traded the best for the good. Satan almost always works it out that way. He gives us something good to take the place of something better, and something better take the place of something best. A young wife asked me if I thought she did right in taking a bus route. And I said, I'll ask you this question. What has it done to your being a loving wife to your husband? If your bus route has enhanced the main calling in life, then fine. But if your bus route has taken from your main calling, then you have traded a shield of gold for a shield of brass. You traded something best for something good. One of the preachers said to me, Brother Hiles, we've gone out of the bus ministry. I was asked a question down south. Somebody said, Brother Hiles said, now that the gasoline has gotten so high, are you still in the bus ministry? I said, yes, of course. He said, why? I said, because we didn't get in it because the gasoline was low. We got in it because people needed to be reached for Christ, and they still need to reach for Christ, so we're still in it. So he said, is it okay if I'm not in it anymore? And I said, I ask you one question. What's it done to your professions of faith and baptism? Well, he said, we're going soul winning more to adults. And how are you listening? And I said, no, what's it done to your baptisms and professions of faith? If it's helped, okay. If it's hindered, you traded a shield of gold for a shield of brass. A married student at Hiles Anderson College asked me this question. I said, Brother Hiles, what do you think about my taking 20 semester hours this semester? He said, I signed up for 20 semester hours. And I said, ask a question, then I asked yours. I said, what's it done to your soul winning? What's it done to your soul winning? If you get out earlier in college at the expense of your soul winning, then you've traded a shield of gold for a shield of brass. Now, this is Satan's favorite trick. The good becoming the enemy of the best. Now, listen carefully. This is vital. There are several things that the devil gives to us as good to substitute for the best. Let me illustrate. Point one. The Bible versus Christian literature. Now, there's nothing wrong with Christian literature. I have written 29 books myself, and I'm for Christian literature. I was in a hospital room one time. Lady had the Bible on top of my book, Brudenham and Lays. And I said, let's get those in the proper order. Now, I'm just kidding, of course. But the truth is, most of us would have it in that order. I get hundreds of Christian periodicals. Hundreds of them. I know I get 25 a day. Christian, at least. And I'm sure I'm way under. Christian periodicals. I rarely ever read any of them. Why? Because it would be so easy in these days of Christian books. And everybody's got a book about something. And everybody's got a set of tapes. And everybody's got a record. I mean, you know, a guy sings a song, his mother says, that was good, and he cuts a record. I plan on cutting one myself. And then my mother thinks I sing well. Son, you don't have a bad voice. I know. But Christian records, Christian radio stations, Christian television programs, and Christian periodicals, and Christian literature is the greatest enemy that the Bible has in America today. Now, if you have traded living in this book for Christian literature, you have traded shields of gold for shields of brass. If you spend much more time listening to Christian radio than you do reading this book. You've traded shields of gold for shields of brass. Some other day said, what material do you think I should use for my quiet time? Now, that is the dumbest question I've ever heard in my life. What material should I use for my quiet time? You ought to use this material right here for your quiet time. Listen, fundamentalists are getting rapidly not the people of this book. We dot every I, we cross every T, we go to conventions, we have our fellowship, we build our churches, we have our church suppers, we have our Christian bookstores, we have our Christian television programs, we have our Christian radio stations, but nothing, I said nothing, will take the place of your bathing your life in this book. I have, the last I counted, over 6,000 books in my library. And I mean, they're stacked everywhere. You wouldn't call it a library. I've got over 6,000 books tucked away somewhere at home or at church. I mean this. I love Christian. In fact, I have read 6 books this week. Now, one book was 45 pages. One book was 295 pages. But I have read 6 books this week. But I mean it when I say this. I spend 10 times as much time in this book as in all other books put together. Now, you've got to get back this book. There are folks in this room this morning who have been saved for 25 years. You couldn't quote 10 verses to save your life. I mean, the truth is, you don't know the book. Somebody writes a letter. What Bible study plan do you recommend? I'm going to study the Bible. Now, what kind of plan? I recommend starting with Genesis and ending with Revelation and reading this book. But you say, Brother Howe, I just can't understand the Bible. Now, that's not true. Here's right here. I'll just open here. And it says, when thou art come in, then thou shalt shut the door. Well, that's hard to understand, isn't it? I just let it fall open where it was. Then when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door. That means you were out, and you opened the door and came in, and since you are in, you ain't out no more. But you had to open the door when you came in, and you were kind enough when you got in to shut the door. That's what it says. Now you listen to me. Your trouble is not you can't understand the Bible. Your trouble is you don't read the Bible. The end of 1980 with the coming of 1981, every single person that names the name of Christ ought to say, I'm not going to trade this shield of gold for some shield of brass. I have published many books. My books have now passed over 6 million copies in sales. And I believe in good books. And I believe reading good books. And I practice it. I read an entire book at the Kansas City Airport last Wednesday. Sitting in the Kansas City Airport, the entire book. But I'd be ashamed of myself if I spent more time reading Christian books than reading God's book. I'd be ashamed of myself if I spent more time hearing Christian radio and hearing good records and good music. What the people of God need in 1981 is to get back to this book. Love it. Read it. Memorize it. Treasure it. Study it. Shields of gold or shields of brass. Somebody said to the house, could you help me find a good home Bible study course? Yes, I can. Yes, I can. Moses wrote the first 5 books of it. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Then go to Joshua, and then to Judges, and on to Ruth, and on to Samuel, and on to Kings, and on to Chronicles, and on to Ezra, and on to Nehemiah, and on to Esther, and on to Job, and on to Psalms, and on to Proverbs, and verse by verse, and chapter by chapter, and word by word, read the Bible. Oh, how wicked it is. I'm talking about sin. I'm not talking about a nice something to do. I'm talking about it sin, not to live. People often ask the question. I don't understand it. People often say, I can't understand what the secret is to Jack Hiles. He's not much preacher. He's not very good looking. He's not very big. He's not the smartest guy I know. How could he have all those people converted and so forth and so on? What's the secret? I'm not sure there is any secret, and I dead sure do not lift myself above anybody else, but I'll guarantee you one thing. For 35 years, I've lived in this book, and God in heaven knows that's true. Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life.
Let me more of their beauty see. Wonderful words of life and beauty. Teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words. Listen, I hold in my hand the wonderful word that God Almighty has given to men. Use it, carry it, treasure it, memorize it, read it, study it. Don't trade this book for something good. Don't you trade this book for some good Christian books at the bookstore. I love what that old Negro preacher down the South said. Somebody said, he's reading the Bible, and he said, you know, he said, the more I read this Bible, the more light it throws on those commentaries. In case you find a commentary, when you get to a hard place, it doesn't explain itself, look it up in the Bible. The Bible will tell you what it means. The Bible, the hammer of God, the water of the Word, the fire of God. Read it, live in it. Start 1981, next Thursday. Read a dozen chapters a day. Listen, I read constantly, every day of my life. I read some of the Psalms. Sometimes I'll read all the Psalms in one day. Every day, I read some of the Proverbs. Every day, I read some of the Acts of the Apostles. Why? Because the Proverbs, I mean the Psalms, keep you sweet. That's obvious, isn't it, man? The Psalms keep you happy. And the Proverbs keep you honest. And the Acts keep you burning for God. The fire of the New Testament church. I'm saying the reason a lot of you folks are so cantankerous, hard to get along. There are two ladies in this room this morning. They haven't smiled since Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. If somebody came in this morning and said, you just inherited $10 million from an uncle you don't know, and it's non-taxable, $10 million. They'd say, I can't smile here. I've got to go outside so I can smile. This is the house of the Lord. Oh, let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. In this 1980, start off the year in the book. In the book. Don't trade shields of gold for shields of brass. There's a second thing that the devil does, and listen carefully. That is not only the Bible versus Christian literature, but prayer versus the quiet time. I've got sick of calling. Have you had your devotionals yet? Have you had your quiet time yet? Why don't you just say, have you prayed today? There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest near the heart of God. Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray in the name of Christ our Savior? Did you sue for loving favor as a shield today? Oh, how praying rests the weary. Prayer can change the night today. So when life seems dark and dreary, don't forget to pray. Don't you let the devil. No, the devil comes up and says, hey, let's have devotional time. Now, I'm not against daily devotional books, but I'm not excited about them either. I've got them all. Streams in the desert. Rivers in the wild. Oceans on the continent. I got them all. You know, handfuls of purpose. Now, I'll tell you what you do in 1981. And I'm not trying to hurt anybody's books. I'm afraid I'm going to have to fire four people from Howell's Publications this next year. Because I'm teaching not to spend too much time in books, but I'm not against the books. Let me tell you what you do in 1981. You just decide that you're going to read the Bible and pray. You know, I don't like these newfangled terms anyhow. Somebody wrote me a letter the other day and said, would you come for a series of religious emphases? Somebody said, how many commitments did you have Sunday? I said, we got 240 born again. Why don't we get back to old terms? Born again, saved, altar call, tent campaign, right with God, repentance. Why don't we get back to just the old-fashioned Bible and prayer? Now, you know, Grandma didn't have any commentary. Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown, the Grandma was a guy that made suits, like Hart, Shaft, and Mark. She didn't know. Grandma did. She only had one book in her library, and that was the Bible. But she knew God, and she prayed. You trade your prayer for quiet time. Now, I'm for meditation. I'm for musing. I'm for praise. And God knows I praise Him, but praising is not prayer. Prayer is coming to God and begging God for something. I praise God. That's all right. I believe in thanksgiving. I believe in worship. I believe in adoration. In fact, the model prayer says, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But until that minute, there's no praying. Our Father which art in heaven, that's not praying. Hallowed be thy name, that's not praying. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, that's not praying. Here's praying. Give us this day our daily bread. I'll tell you what you ought to do. In 1981, you ought to spend 15 or 20 minutes every day doing nothing but begging God to help your kids turn out right. Beg God for your needs and beg God for His blessings and beg God for His power. Set a time. Make a list. And plead with God. I'm going to preach my silent sermon this morning. I do it about once a year. Somebody said it's the greatest sermon I ever preached. I'm going to preach it right now. It won't take but a minute or two. But I'm going to show you something I learned in 1947 when I first began preaching. I'm going to tell you something I learned as a college student in East Texas Baptist College. Two things I learned that are the secret to the Christian life. Watch me carefully. Here they are. The average Christian hasn't gotten anything from God in answer to prayer in years. You come to God, you think that prayer is saying, I love you, Lord, and I think you ought to say you love Him. But there needs to be some old-fashioned tarrying meetings. I'm talking about PPAC meetings. I'm talking about Brush Arbor meetings. I'm talking about out in the woods. I'm talking about out in the smokehouse. I'm talking about where God's people reach up and grab the throne of God and say, God, help me to have your power and your blessing and care for my needs and help my kids turn out right. Old-fashioned praying. That's what America needs. Anytime you trade your prayer life for a quiet time of just meditation, I don't mean to be unkind. I don't mean to be tacky. But when Mr. Reagan said, let's stop and pray, why didn't somebody pray? He said, we're going to have a quiet time. A prayer. Well, why didn't He say, let's bow our heads and pray? And why didn't He say, oh God in heaven, spare this nation and give me wisdom to the right kind of president? We don't need quiet time. We need prayer to God Almighty. In the time you trade your Bible for Christian literature, you traded a shield of gold for a shield of brass. In the time you traded your petition making to God and your intercessory time and your prayer time and your begging time to God for a quiet little meditative time, you traded a shield of gold for a shield of brass. Thirdly, you trade shield of gold for shield of brass when you trade fellowship with God for fellowship with man. I love fellowship. I love to go to church. I doubt if you understand what this service means to me on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I doubt if you understand what it means for me to stand behind this pulpit, just to walk out and see all of you. Realize that you're my people, that you love me, and that you pray for me, and that you're here to hear me preach. I love it. I love the church. I love the marvelous fellowship we have in our schools. I think it's wonderful. But let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there is not 1 hour you will spend in this church that'll ever take the place of 1 minute you spend walking with your God. And this church is not a place where you come and just gain strength. This church is a place where you come to fellowship with God's people. But you need to leave this place with a holy resolve to get out yonder in a teapot somewhere or on your face before God under the shade of a tree or out in the woods and walk with God. As sure as I'm standing here, people come to our church from other areas and backslide because they feel like as soon as they get to First Baptist Church in Hammond, all the barriers can be laid down. I'm in Mecca now. I won't have to pray anymore. This old church and this preacher will take care of keeping me spiritual. That's not true. And that's why many of you are more spiritual when you're out yonder without a good church, because you had to depend on God You had to come to church and got nothing, and now you come here and get something. All of a sudden, you let down the bed. Don't you do it! Stay in the Bible! Stay on your knees and stay with God. No church will take its place. No college will take its place. No fellowship will take its place. If you trade your Bible for Christian literature, you traded shields of gold for shields of brass. If you trade old-fashioned intercessory prayer for just a quiet time of meditation and devotion, you traded shields of gold for shields of brass. If you trade fellowship with your God for fellowship with man and depend upon fellowship with man to take the place of your fellowship with God, you traded something better for something good. You traded shields of gold for shields of brass. Number four. Soul winning versus witnessing. I was on an airplane the other day. Long haired hippie got down beside sat down beside me. Hair down to his shoulders. He said, "Aren't you Dr. Jack Hyles?" I said, "Yes, I am, Brother Hyles." He said, "I'm a gospel singer." He looked like it. He said, "When you preached at Cobo Hall in Detroit, I was the soloist." Long haired hippie like character. I witnessed to one of the stewardesses. He said, "What are you doing? I'm trying to win her to Christ." He said, "I do my witnessing through my singing." You see that little bowl right there? I wouldn't walk from here to there to hear a fellow sing a song. He wouldn't tell somebody how to be saved with his lips. Who substitutes for soul winning singing of a song? I'd stop my ears if I had to hear him sing. Are you listening to me? The fact that you teach in a Christian school is not your witness. And the fact that you work on the staff of First Baptist Church of Hammond is not your witness. And the fact that you're in full-time service is not your witness. Oh, the devil comes and says, "Be a gospel soloist," and now that's your witnessing. That's not your witnessing. You're supposed to take the Word of God out and show people from house to house and on the street corners how to be saved. You know what Dr. Evans, you know that many a person, when he gets called to full-time service, he becomes a poor Christian. He's in a church somewhere, has a bus route, building a Sunday school class, getting people saved, and he's called to full-time service and now I'm in a Christian college. If you stop what you did before you got called to preach, you traded the shields of gold for shields of brass. Now I say number five. And this time of year we need this. That is, you trade shields of gold for shields of brass when you trade repentance for a new leaf. I worry about us this time of year. I am going to make some New Year's resolutions to quit this and quit that. Make your New Year's resolutions at the altar of an old-fashioned church. I made a resolution. I'm not going to smoke in 1981. Okay, but repent because you did in 1980. I made a resolution that I'm going to have a good attitude and not have a critical nature. 81, okay, but get on your knees and old-fashioned repentance. Ask God to forgive you and turn from your sins. Oh, this modern-day fundamentalism with chandeliers and carpet and padded pews and nice buildings and beautiful baptistry drapes and white and gold and early American and colonial and comfort and luxury. Listen, if this altar does not catch the same tears the sawdust did, let's trade the altar for some sawdust. If these chandeliers do not cause us to come to God in repentance like the old kerosene lanterns and lamps did, let's pull down the chandeliers and get the old kerosene back again. Oh, this modern day kind of white love fundamentalism. Live like the world, smell like the world, talk like the world, dress like the world, sing like the world, same beat as the world. We need old-fashioned repentance and revival. Else we've traded shields of gold for shields of brass. Number six and last. Not only do we trade shields of gold for shields of brass, we trade the Bible for Christian literature, and prayer for the quiet time, and fellowship with God for fellowship with man, soul winning for witnessing and repentance versus a new leaf. But also we trade shields of gold for shields of brass when we change from giving to tithing.
Don't misunderstand me. I believe in tithing. Man sat in my office just last night, and he said, I didn't tithe for a number of years. And he said, I know I owe God 10% of all the income I had while I was not tithing. If you're not tithing, you're a robber. You're a crook. You've taken God's money and bought Christmas presents with it this year. You're a dirty thief. I believe in tithing. But you've not given just because you've tithed. Are you listening? We need to go back to giving. Let me give you a few illustrations, and I do this at the expense of your thinking I'm boasting, and I'm not. I'm trying to give you a little pattern type of life. I have in my budget, and I'm not wealthy, but I have in my budget what I call others' money. It is set aside to spend for other people, just like my tithe is set aside to give to my church. Let me tell you how I spend it. I was staying in Ottawa, Kansas last week in a nice little motel. When I got back in on Tuesday after being out preaching on Tuesday morning, whoever cleaned my room, I never saw what she looked like. She may have been 16, she may have been 106, I don't know. But her name was Rita. Because she wrote a little note on a card and said, I hope you're satisfied with your room. Hope you have a Merry Christmas. Signed, Rita. My dirty socks were folded. My pajamas were folded. My newspapers were laid on the head of the bed, the morning paper. And since I had it open to the sport page, she had kept it open to the sport page and laid it on the head of the bed. She had taken my electric razor and put the lid back on. She had taken all my target articles and lined them neatly. I haven't had my target articles lined neatly since Noah in the ark. To me, any man's bathroom that's clean is not right with God. You're a sissy. You're a bowsy-wowsy. I've done you what? I've never come home to such order in a motel room in my life. I mean, I have an awful hard time when I'm in a motel telling the clean shirt from the dirty one. I'm going to stack them both right together at night, bedtime. So when I left, I had some others' money tucked away on the billfold. So I took a $10 bill and stapled it or attached it to the note where she said, Merry Christmas. And I said, Merry Christmas, Rita. Thank you for making my Christmas more orderly. I didn't sign my name. She doesn't know who I am. But Rita has $10 today. Now, that's giving. I'm not going to deduct it from income tax. I tried last year, but they wouldn't let me. Can't do it. I got up early the other day. I was in New York City. Decided to take a walk before daybreak. And there's a morning newspaper boy. He had a sack of... Little bitty kid. He had a sack of papers on him. If you've been a paper boy, you know what I'm talking about. And boy, you... And I said, hey, son, you got extra paper to sell? He said, no, sir. Don't. And I said, that's too bad. I'm trying to find a $5 paper. Oh, he said, I think I do have one. I had some of the others' money tucked away in the corner here. I bought a paper. It's Christmas time. Paper boys have a right to go shopping, too. I was in New York City. The pastor and his deacons want to meet with me. They're having some church problems. We had breakfast together. Stayed there at 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock till 1 o'clock. 5 hours. Same table in a restaurant. Now, you folks who've been waitresses know what that means. That means no tips. 5 hours we occupied. And all we had was a cup of tea and some toast. And I think one or two had cheese omelets. We sat there 5 hours. There were about seven of us. When time came to leave, I walked over to the little gal, who was our waitress, and I said, we kept you from getting tips, haven't we? She said, that's okay. And I had a little others' money tucked away in the billfold, so I gave her a $20 bill, and I said, I hope this will be okay. She said, will it be okay? We checked out, went up the room,
came back down the room to get a paper. She was getting off, and somebody met her. She didn't know I was there, and they said, "How was your day?" And she said, "How was my day? Looky there." She was waving that $20 bill, just like that. There are a lot of people that you could give to. But she said, "Well, the house, I haven't got 20s. "Okay, how about trying dollar bills? Or quarters will do. Or a dime here and there might do. Want to have some fun?" I'm through preaching now. I'm just talking. Want to have some fun? take a big wad of change, Dr. Taylor. Almost called you Dr. Billings. I'm sorry, Dr. Billings. I'm sorry. get you a big wad of change, and you go to the airport next time. go up to a line of telephones and put a handful of change in each of the return slots. Put it there. And then get across the hallway and watch the people. The other day I did that in Pennsylvania. The guy, he's going to get his dime back, you know, and all that money there. And he held it for some more minutes. He started hitting the telephone. I can't. Mm-hmm. 1981's almost here. The devil will come to you with some good things, and as he did in 80. And he'll say, "Here's a good thing to do." It's okay to do it as long as you don't have to sacrifice the best. Don't ever sacrifice this book or other good Christian literature. Don't ever sacrifice your time of begging God and your prayer, old-fashioned prayer meeting time, or just a devotional or a quiet time. Don't ever sacrifice your fellowship and your walk with God for fellowship and walking with men. Don't ever sacrifice your soul winning for some form of substitute witnessing. Don't sacrifice old-fashioned repentance for the turning over a new leaf for some resolutions. And don't sacrifice the joy of giving for the joy of just paying your debts. Shields of gold for shields of brass. Our Heavenly Father, bless them.